We do indeed recognize you as a God who is great beyond all imagination, Lord. You set the stars and planets and galaxies in motion, and Lord, although you are master of such high and mighty things, Lord, yet you reveal yourself to us. You reveal your love and your majesty and your greatness, and not only those things, but also your kindness and your mercy. Lord, in light of these things, in light of the great God you are, Lord, I pray that each of us would not be unmoved, but rather, Lord, may you move each one of us to bow down before you in submission and in awe and in love. Father, I pray that as we prepare to hear your word preached this morning, may you be with Pastor Michael, such that the message that is preached according to your agenda and not to anyone else's. And Father, I also ask for each one of us that as we listen, Lord, may the message fall on receptive ears. And Lord, may you enable each of us to understand and to apply accordingly what we hear. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Would you pray with me once more, please? Oh, Father, how great thou art. We can never fathom your greatness. Oh, God, in this hour of worship, may we experience the fullness of our great God who loves us so much. We acknowledge that you are the great shepherd who cares for us. You're the great physician who heals. You're the great prophet, the great teacher who teaches us. So Lord, we do pray, Lord, as we come to hearing your word, that you would teach us personally, that we learn of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of you probably are familiar with the idea of phobia. Phobia means a persistent, unhealthy, irrational fear of something. There are many, many kinds of phobia, literally hundreds of them. I went to Google and type up phobia. It literally lists a bunch of phobia from A to Z. Some of the top 10 phobia. Arachnophobia. Anyone? Spiders. Fear of spiders. How about the next one? Claustrophobia. Close spaces. Very good. What's the next one? I cannot see my own slides. Agoraphobia. It's opposite. Fear of open space. Agora means market. Fear of open space. Next one. Mysophobia. They fear germs. I do not mean your fear. You know what germs are all about. Next one. Aerophobia.
Fear of flying.
Very good. Last one. Acrophobia. Fear of heights. Recently, I learned two new ones. Papaphobia. I'll give you a hint. It's not afraid of your daddy. I'm sorry?
Potato.
Not fear of the Pope. Next one. Theophobia. Fear of God. Right. However, just like all phobia, this phobia is an irrational fear of God. However, the Bible does teach us a godly, healthy fear of God. The term fear of God is repeated many times in the Bible. In fact, we are commanded to fear God. So the title of this message is Fear God, Respect Authority. Now, Pastor Jim, 2 weeks ago, already preached. Oh, thank you.
Oh, I got to reverse. Thank you. Pastor Jim, 2 weeks ago. Pastor Jim, 2 weeks ago, already preached on fearing God from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It teaches how we are to act in the presence of God. Remember, we are to honor God by keeping our words, right? By keeping our vows. So today, in today's passage, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, this passage teaches us how to behave in the presence of a king. We can honor God by respecting authorities, whether it's at home, at work, or church. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7 asks, "But do you fear God?" I think it's a good question for us to ask this morning. Do we fear God, brothers and sisters? Because of the lack of fear of God, people have sinned and rebelled against God. We have seen this again and again throughout the Bible. In fact, one of the recurrent phrases in the book of Judges is what? The people did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. People again and again rebelled against God and did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, they have lost the fear of God. Now, I contend to you that our present generation have lost the fear of God. As a society, we no longer respect the Word of God. In fact, we have marginalized the Word of God. The Word of God has become irrelevant and even considered archaic in our modern, so-called modern society. As a consequence, our society is increasingly disrespectful of all governing authorities. We see and reread protests against the police, against our government. Last month, the May Day protests in Seattle, and in fact throughout the country and the whole world. And these protests are increasingly violent, literally becoming a state of anarchy. Now, I personally believe that we are reaping the consequence of what happened a generation or two ago. A generation ago, in the name of separation of the church and state, we, as a society, remove God's word, remove the Bible from our classrooms, from our schools. We remove the Ten Commandments from our courtrooms and our legal system. We cannot teach the Judeo-Christian ethics. In fact, today, teachers can even discipline their students. So what we're seeing today are the result of removing God and God's morality from us, from our society. So now we have a whole generation of people with this anything goes philosophy. So our text this morning is very relevant for us today. Now, if you have your Bible open, please open to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Our text is actually the first 13 verses, but in the interest of time, we'll read the first 9 verses only. I don't know what happened to my eyes. I can even hardly read my notes this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, the first 9 verses. Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its heart appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighted down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? As no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of his death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I apply my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. My outline is threefold this morning. Fearing God, respecting authorities, God-fearing people. The first one, fearing God. As I mentioned earlier, the fear of God is commanded in the scriptures. Now, as you know, the fear of God is one of the prominent themes of the wisdom, of the Hebrew wisdom literature. It's been repeated many times that the fear of God is the beginning of understanding of and wisdom, isn't it? The fear of the Lord can mean two things. It can mean an outright fright, afraid of God's presence. Remember Adam and Eve, after they sinned, after they ate the forbidden fruit, they were afraid of God. So they hid themselves from the presence of God. We can see other examples throughout the Old Testament where people are described, they were so afraid in the presence of God, they were literally shaking and knocking their knees, the scripture says. There are terms like melt in fear or fear and dread. Are used many times in describing this kind of fear of God. And this kind of fear is often associated with God's judgment. On the other hand, the fear of God can also mean to revere God, to reverence for God for who he is in all his holiness and his purity. And this kind of fear of God is often described in the scripture of standing in awe of God. Remember prophet Isaiah? He stood in awe of God before the throne of grace. So he declared, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord of hosts. When he stood in fear of God, that's what he acknowledged. But at the same time, he acknowledged the holiness of God. He acknowledged himself as being a sinner. Oh, woe is me. I'm a person of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul reminds us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Of course, Apostle Paul also adds that we are to submit to one another out of reverence, or other translations, out of fear for Christ. See, to fear God indeed is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. So here in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon teaches that we fear God by honoring our word, right? Chapter 5. In chapter 12, Solomon teaches that we fear God by obeying his commandments. Here in chapter 8, we fear God by respecting authorities. And that leads to my second point, respecting authority. So the first few verses, or 8 or 9 verses, it teaches us to obey the king. Of course, today in our society, we are very few kings, or real kings with real power. But kings here represent any governing authorities. Maybe the governor, or the representative of the government, like the police. Or it could be your boss, your supervisors at work. Could be your parents at home. Your teachers, your professors at your school. And of course, at church, we must remember that we are to respect the authority of the church elders and the pastors, because they have spiritual authorities over us. But even as we are instructed to obey the kings in authority, the Bible also has warning for those who are in authority, specifically those who tend to misuse their authority, or those who use the power to suppress, to lord over others. Verse 9. All this I saw as I apply my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Again, this is life under the sun. Right? Life under the sun is not perfect. There will be people who misuse their authority. But regardless whether this authority is godly or wicked, they are ordained of God, under the sovereign control of God. Therefore, we have also a God-ordained responsibility to obey and submit to their authority. If that government or any governing authority misuses their power, the Bible said they will do it to their own hurt. They will do it to their own detriment. So how do we obey authority? The scripture said we are to obey authority. So how do we do it? It is important to remember that we are first to submit to one another out of fear, out of reverence for Christ. We are to obey as unto Jesus Christ. It is this kind of holy fear of God that we submit to any governing authorities over us. As you and I know, that submitting is not easy, is it? It's against human nature. We have a nature tendency to rebel against any governing authority. Therefore, submitting to authority requires humility. Verse 1 tells us, "Who is like the wise?" Did we reverse the order? Okay, let's go with this. Who is like the wise man who knows the interpretation of things? See, a wise, humble person knows that he does not know everything. He cannot interpret everything correctly. The Bible again warned that those who are wise in their own eyes. So he must be humble, or we must be humble and not be wise in our own eye and think, hey, I know it all. This is especially true in the presence of the king and all those in authority. Verse 2, Solomon continues, obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Fearing God is to honor our words before God. Fearing God is to honor. Keep your word, keep your vow. We learned that a couple of Sundays ago. So our commitment to obey the king or any authority, in a sense, is an extension of our commitment, our vow to God. Kings and all authorities are under the control of God. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Therefore, if we want to honor and revere God, then we must learn to honor and respect the authority over us, for they are ordained of God. Of course, there is another obvious reason to obey the king, isn't it? And those in authority. The Bible said the king's power is absolute. His words are supreme. So disobeying the king carries serious consequences. So it is in our society, isn't it? If you don't obey the traffic law, you get fined. You don't obey the tax law, you get jail or in prison. Verse 3 and 4 warns, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, or he will do whatever he pleases, since the king's word is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing? In other words, be careful when you stand before the king and you stand before those who are in authority. When you decide to defy, to disobey the king, be careful. Be careful when you challenge authority or reject any kind of authority. In fact, Solomon here even warns of leaving the presence of a king. That don't turn your back on your king. Even when you disagree with the king or with any policies of all those in authority, it is still prudent, it's still wise to obey, isn't it? The Bible said there is a proper time and a proper place to make changes. Civil disobedience, anarchy, street protests are not the solution to all the problems of our society. Try to kill a congressman, a lawmaker this weekend is not the solution. In fact, during the May Day protests, Seattle City Councilwoman Sawan, some of you might be familiar with her, a socialist, she advocated civil disobedience and protests against President Trump's policies are legitimate. She even says, okay, to go to the freeway and block the freeways. And later on, she did retract that statement. Be careful. Do not turn your back on any authority or on your king, Solomon says. In fact, in the old days, even when the king dismissed you, what do? You walk backward. You don't turn your back on your king, is that right? Solomon says, respect those who are in authority. Verses 5 and 6. Whoever obey his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. Yes, we may disagree with the policies of government, but there is a time, there is a procedure, there is a place to change that. Blocking freeways, destruction of properties is not the way to do it. We see people hurt, and we see people arrested. So the Bible here reminds us that those who obey the king, no harm will come to them. This verse even tells us that even in the matters that you're so passionate about, maybe abortion, or maybe other thing, civil rights, even in a matter you are so passionate about, the matters that weighs in your heart, there is still a time and a place for it. To fear God and to submit to authority requires humility. Humility says, I do not know everything. I do not know how to interpret everything. Of course, as you know, there are always a different point of view, different perspective on every matter. Secondly, humility also requires to accept things that we have no control over. Humility says we are to accept things that we have no control over. Certainly, we cannot control the king. We cannot control our government. There's a phrase, you cannot fight City Hall, at least in my old days, right? His words are supreme. And this verse also tells us we cannot control the future because the future is unknown to us. Verses 7 and 8. Since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? No man has power over the wind to contain it. No one has power over the day of his death. It's true, isn't it? We cannot affect the directions of the wind. Of course, we have no power over the day of our death. Death is a reality of life that none of us can escape. So it is wise, it's prudent for us to accept and even embrace the things that we have no control over, whether it's the government policies, the king's command, the directions of the wind, and even our own death. You see, if we fear God, then we have no fear of death. Brothers and sisters, when death comes, we cannot hide, we cannot escape, we cannot run. But we can trust in Jesus Christ, who has already conquered death, as we sing about it this morning. In fact, last Friday in our Cantonese Bible study, we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We studied the fact that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we do not need to be afraid of death. The death has lost its sting. And this is the gospel message. Jesus Christ already promised to us salvation for all those who are willing to come to him. Yes, we cannot escape the physical death. The Bible calls it the first death. But by trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we can escape the second death. Or the spiritual death. This is basically the good news of the gospel. Salvation is free, right? By grace. It is a gift of God. It is to be received by faith. I think it's good for us to be reminded of this gospel message. And if you're hearing this message for the first time, and may God bless you with this truth, that salvation is free through grace, by faith. And he promises eternal salvation. If we are to fear God and respect and obey authority, the next logical question is, how do I become such person? Is that right? So my outline is, how do we become a God-fearing people? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verses 12 and 13, it reads, although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them. Their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Yes, it is true that we are commanded to live our lives in the awe, in the fear of God. And this fear of God, as we've been saying, includes respecting and obeying all governing authorities over us. But you and I know that many times the governing authority are not godly. They're evil, ungodly. But Solomon said, it is still better for you to be God-fearing people. Even though the wicked may seem flourish, they get away with 100 crimes. They seem to prosper. Solomon says, it is still better for you to fear God. Just sometimes that's how I feel as I look around all the evilness in our society. God, why do you allow these things to happen? And the righteous seem to suffer. But Solomon says, it is better for you to be a God-fearing people. We are commanded to fear God because we are to be God-fearing people. You and I know to be God-fearing people is not easy in our society today, right? It is downright difficult. Christians are often misunderstood, misrepresented, even ridiculed, right? Oftentimes Christians are branded as bigots. We are intolerant people, right? Intolerance, unfortunately, has become the religion of our modern society. There's already subtle discrimination, and sometimes not so subtle discrimination against Christians. And you can be sure that open prosecution and persecution of Christians will follow. In the light of such persecution against Christians, in the light that the wicked seem to prosper and seem to be in control, Solomon says it is better to remain faithful to your God, remain faithful to be a God-fearing people. See, Solomon says, in the end, the wicked will not escape God's judgment. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. Verse 13 also says, the day of the wicked will cut short. It will not go well with them. Their days will not lengthen like a shadow. I don't know how to interpret that. But I suspect the sun will go down on them. If there's no sun, there's no shadow. That's how I look at it. But I think it says that they will be judged. So Solomon here encourages us that it is much better to be God-fearing people even as we live in a godless society. It is better to be wicked people. Again, to fear God is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of understanding. It teaches us how to live our life above the sun and not under the sun. Let me summarize this passage. Fear God, respect authority. Proverbs 7:24 says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is what matters in how we live our lives. So as an encouragement for us to fear God and stay true to God and continue to stand in awe of Him, let me just share a few verses that the Bible has many promises for those who fear Him. Psalm 112:1. Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. Psalm 128:4. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. Yes, fearing God in a godless society is difficult. But God has promised to you and to me there are blessings when we obey, when we fear, continue to fear Him. Jerry Bridges wrote a book entitled The Joy of Fearing God. I know you're familiar with this book. I strongly recommend for your reading. Summer is here, guys. No school. Read his book. This book, The Joy of Fearing God, in that book, he teaches you how to fear God. But in this last chapter of that book, he mentions several blessings of those who choose to fear God. So I'd like to use that as an encouragement, as an incentive for all of us. What are the blessings of fearing God? Because of time, I would just point it out to you. First of all, we can enjoy God's provision. Fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him lack nothing. You can enjoy all that God has for you. Secondly, enjoy His protection. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite of all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Thirdly, we can enjoy His guidance. Psalm 25:12, who then is a man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in a way chosen for him. Lastly, enjoy His compassion and love. Psalm 103 is repeated three times, how the Lord blesses those who fear Him. Verses 8 and 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Isn't it? Verse 13 continue. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. I hope all these verses will encourage us to fear God, to live a life above the sun. At the beginning of this message, I asked this question, do we fear God? Perhaps it's also appropriate as we finish this message, are we God-fearing people? Are we God-fearing people? Brothers and sisters, may we learn to be God-fearing people. Learn how we can stand in the presence of God, in fear, in awe, in reverence of Him. One of the fundamental traits of a God-fearing person is his or her desire to live life under God's authority. And of course that, by extension, all the authorities that God ordained. This is life above the sun and not under the sun. When we live under God's authority, we can enjoy Him, all His provision, all His guidance, His protection, and above all else, His compassion and His love. Not that we can only enjoy God, the fullness of God in this life, but all eternity to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before You, Your throne of grace. May we learn to be like Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah, that we are sinful people, especially in the presence of such a holy God. Oh God, teach us not to be afraid or scared of you, but learn us, teach us to stand in awe of you for who you are, such a loving Father, loving God. May this fear of God direct our lives, that we live our life righteously and godly in our godless society. Enable us, Father, to honor you every day by respecting the authorities that you have placed before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will everyone please stand? Giving us this wonderful message today, and please help us all to learn how to be God-fearing people, and even as we go on with our weeks, and this message may become pushed back even more and more in our minds, please help us to remember to keep it relevant in every day and in everything that we do. And we thank you for everything that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful rainy Seattle day. Just a couple of announcements this morning. The most important being that it's Father's Day. And so, for all of you who are dads, and some of you need to get working on that, Spencer, is that there is a Father's Day breakfast in the fellowship hall immediately afterwards. And so all the dads come over and celebrate Father's Day. The other thing is that in the back of your bulletin, if you take a look at that, it's got some of our upcoming events. One of the upcoming events is the All Church Retreat at First. We are already doing registration for that. And if you know that you're coming, please register that with Monica. And I believe there will be somebody over out at the hallway later on today to take on your registration. And also keep an eye that if you're part of the serving crew, that means after the fellowship this morning, you're responsible for the cleanup. Remember, after service this morning, there is Sunday school that's going on with the youth Sunday school in the fellowship hall, as well as the adult Sunday school just behind the sanctuary here. Pastor Jim.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy, yeah, yeah.
I love Daddy.
Well, that was cute. All right, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Father, and you are a perfect Father. Lord, you are a good Father. We thank you for our fathers on earth, Lord, all of our fathers and just the influence they've had on us and training us up and raising us in righteousness. We just give you thanks for putting that authority over us and just how good they were to us. For those of us who are fathers, we thank you for the privilege of being fathers. Help us to be good fathers. Help us to raise our children in a God-fearing way. And I pray that all of us would desire to be God-fearing people. And now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.